Welcome to the Community of Hope Church podcast. Our church exists to interest disinterested people in Jesus Christ and then grow together into fully devoted followers of Him. So wherever you are, we hope you find this message helpful, practical, and applicable to your life. God bless.
All right, well, welcome again, everybody. You may be seated for those of you who are here in the room. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Trevor. I'm one of the pastors here. We're glad that you're here. Welcome everybody who's streaming online too. We know a lot of people are gone on vacation or traveling or whatnot. So we're glad that you've joined us for worship here today on this very special Sunday. Welcome to our very first ever Sunday morning Advent Awakening experience. Yeah, woo is right. That's good. Yeah, yeah. So we're really excited for you all to be here today. Our goal is just one thing, and that's to prepare your hearts and our hearts for the Advent season. For those of you who are newer to church, the word Advent is really the month that Christians take the four Sundays before Christmas where we prepare our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it's more than just happy birthday, Jesus, but it's about the significance of what happened when God took on human flesh, when it wasn't just another baby born in a manger in Bethlehem, it was the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us. And it takes time to wrap your minds, wrap your hearts around the profound significance of this event. That's what we're going to be doing for the next four Sundays and even today as our launch for that. We think it's really important to prepare our hearts because in modern culture today, in 2024, and especially in the Western world, and especially in America, it is so easy to miss the real significance of Christmas because of the busyness of the season. Is anybody already stressed out about your calendar? Uh-huh. Because of the distractions, maybe even your over-familiarity with the story of the Christmas season. And so what we want to do is take a time to focus and to do this, to slow down and to just walk at the pace that God walks at. In the scriptures, it talks about how Jesus, you can't find anywhere in the New Testament where it says that Jesus ran somewhere or that Jesus was in a hurry. It always says that he walked places. And so our God is the God who changes the world 3 miles an hour. And so what we need to do is slow down to the pace that God walks at, and to really hear what he's saying to us to transform our hearts. So that's what we're going to be doing today. Across this morning, we're going to hear scripture readings. We're going to give you time to reflect upon it. There's going to be moments of silence. There's going to be moments of prayer, moments of listening, moments of worshiping. We're going to take communion together today. It's going to be a really significant, meaningful Sunday here. It's going to be great. Today is also special because it's an all-in weekend, which means all of our kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, who are normally in Kids of Hope, they are in service here today. So let's welcome our kids who are here today. And so kids, when you came on in, you should have been given a coloring book with some crayons and whatnot to help you get through the service today. So raise up if you have your bulletin with you. If you came in, raise it up. I see a couple of them. Great. So here's what we want you to do with that. Listen to Pastor Trev. You can color all you want in church. Jesus wants you to draw pictures in church, especially if you're hearing things from the story or from images you're seeing or candles being lit. Draw pictures about it. Have fun in service. This is meant to help you too. So for the rest of our time this morning, we're going to focus on one aspect of the Christmas story. We're going to focus on the Magi. Sometimes they're referred to as the three kings. Sometimes they're referred to as the wise men. But we're going to focus on these characters in the Nativity story and what they teach us about seeking and welcoming Jesus, especially this Advent season.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him.
The Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. To us, this sentence is maybe like just any other sentence in the Christmas story. Yes, the Magi, the shepherds, they go on each side of the manger in my nativity scene. You probably picture three, although scripture never actually says that. And maybe you've heard them called wise men or the three kings, or even heard that they were possibly astrologers. Truly, however, all that we know from Scripture is simply that Magi came. Here's how one biblical historian and author imagines the scene. Picture this. They would have worn tall, narrow headdresses of gold fabric. They wore curved swords, and the pommels of those weapons were fashioned like eagles. Black paint outlined their piercing eyes. Perfume scented their long robes, and behind them, there trailed the strange, otherworldly aura of the sorcerer. Think truly about the strangeness, the complexity, the otherworldliness of these magi who are thought to have been descended from wise men and advisors in the Assyrian and Persian empires. They were historically known for being influential and powerful at a time when history and science really were not even separated from mythology and sorcery. And then consider the openness of these magi, the ones who came, how willing they were to leave all that they knew. They left their land, their culture. They didn't seem to question the mystery, to demand answers, but they came strangers to Israel, strangers to the covenants and the promises of God, strangers to who Yahweh, the God of Israel, had revealed himself to them to be. They just came, not understanding totally, but in search of something, in search of someone who would change everything. So for us, here in 2024, here in this room, here watching online, I wonder, are we open, like the Magi, to being surprised this Christmas? Are we willing to entertain the idea that God may work in ways that we don't understand or predict or expect? Could we choose, like the Magi, to embrace the idea that God is mysterious and wonderful and beyond what we can imagine, and his ways are not like our ways? Let's spend a few moments with this prayer now. God, help me be open to wonder this Christmas season.
Matthew 2, verses 4 through 8. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.
It's pretty simple, really. The Magi saw a star, somehow knew that it signified the birth of the King of the Jews, and so they came. They packed up their caravan, not minivan, caravan. And maybe a caravan of three, but probably not. Possibly a caravan of a dozen or so with camels and tents and supplies for the journey. Some even believe that the Magi's caravan might have had over 10,000 men and 1,000 camels with an escort of soldiers to guarantee their protection and servants, animals, cooks, and more. They made their way to Jerusalem, knowing that this was the city where, since King David, the king of the Jews, had always made their home. And here they met Herod the Great, who was the Roman appointed king of Israel. Imagine the fear that would have risen in Herod's gut when they asked after the king of the Jews. We saw his star when it rose. And that could also mean to Herod's ears, your star is falling. After all, he is technically now then the king of the Jews. And all Herod the Great can think about is himself. And who could they be talking about? What does this mean for me? And what do I have to do to stop this new king? Now, I want you to compare the two responses that we just saw in the passage. The responses to the joyous news of this baby born. The Magi come in obedience. They come seeking and searching. They come hopeful. They come open. And Herod, on the other hand, responds with fear, lying, manipulation, and self-protective, deceptive instructions that eventually lead to murder. Could it be that the spirit of fear is what stops wonder right in its tracks? So I wonder, is there something that God is asking us to lay down this Christmas season? Is there some fear? Or is there anxiety? Or is there worry that you're carrying, that you're clinging to so tightly that you can't see past, that you miss the wonder that is all around us, because we're gripped with this fear and worry and anxiety? Could maybe we choose the same posture that the Magi had? And instead of the posture of Herod, what if we chose the posture of openness, of obedience and hope, rather than clinging to what we have and what we think we can control? So spend a few moments now with this prayer that we're going to put on the screen. God, help me release what I am holding on to this Christmas season.
Matthew 2, verses 9 through 12. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
So your nativity scene, like mine, along with three wise men, probably has them there at the same time as his shepherds, gazing at the newborn baby Jesus. But in reality, most historians agree that the Magi probably didn't make it there until Jesus was about 2 years old. And if any of you have ever raised a two-year-old, you can probably imagine what that visit may have gone like. But then the Magi, they finally arrive at the house where the star stops. How long has their journey been? They're overjoyed. They bow. They worship. They present gifts. Now, isn't it interesting that for an account that is in some ways so vague, how many Magi were there? What even is a Magi? Where did they come from? What exactly did they see? All of these questions, and yet the gifts are surprisingly specific. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are some that suggest that these gifts may mirror the gifts that were given to kings in the Old Testament, as you might see in Isaiah or Psalms. There are others who suggest the gifts were more symbolic. Perhaps the gold was to signify royalty, while the incense signified divinity and the myrrh signified death and mortality. Not just who Jesus is, but who he will become. And then there's another suggestion that's perhaps the simplest, and I think actually most meaningful and helpful for us now. And that's simply that the gifts that were given don't have any secret meaning, but were given because they were exceedingly valuable. Some of the highest valued treasures that the day had to offer, the very best of what the Magi had to give. You see, wonder, when it's awakened within us, it naturally leads to worship. We almost can't help it. What else can our response be when we're overcome by delight, by joy, by surprise, by overwhelming love? You know, it makes me think, did the wise men, did they know that they wanted to bring those specific gifts way back before they even left with their caravan? Did they choose the frankincense, the gold, the myrrh, wrap them up and pack them knowing they would present them to Jesus? Or did they make that journey? Did they get to that home? Did they behold Jesus and know the truth, the value of who he was? And upon seeing him, then did they rush to their caravan and try to find the most valuable things they had brought with them, treasures worthy of a king? I wonder, because wonder leads to worship. And when we worship, we bring the best of what we have, all that we have and all of us. So I wonder what the invitation is for you this Christmas. How is God inviting us to worship him in this season ahead of us? If we put ourselves in the place of the Magi, imagine perhaps the moment in your own life when you met, when you beheld Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you're seeking an encounter with Jesus for the first time. If we put ourselves in that place, how would our worship change? What valuable treasures would we bring to lay at his feet, eager to bring the best of all that we have? What if we held nothing back from him? Truly. Let's spend a few moments with this final prayer. God, teach me to worship you with all that I have and all that I am this Christmas.
Thank you. So with all the mystery surrounding the Magi, and all the history and all of the surmising of the scholars and the historians around this moment, one thing seems clear. They came to worship the one who was the King of the Jews. If you remember, that's how we're almost introduced to them. When they learn of Jesus, they come and they inquire of Herod, where is the one born King of the Jews? Now, here's what's fascinating. We don't hear that phrase again, that moniker, that identifier, till near the very end of Matthew's gospel. It shows up again in a place where, if you have any familiarity with the life of Jesus at all, you may remember. Because it was after Jesus was arrested, falsely tried, after having been accused falsely, and during the trial, condemned under treasonous reasons against Rome. They took Jesus out, as we all know, and they crucified him. And then almost as a way to mock him, you might remember that they took a piece of wood, and on that piece of wood, they identified Jesus by saying this, "Here's Jesus, King of the Jews." And they nailed it to the cross, and then they nailed him to the cross. One of the things that's always challenging in December during the Advent season is that if we're not careful, we can, as followers of Christ or would-be followers of Christ, we could get a little tangled up in the idea of Jesus being a baby. All year long, we worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then in December, he becomes the Christ child, the baby. But we have to remember and we have to hold in tension that just as the Magi came with a specific purpose to find the one who's born King of Jews, Jesus also came for a specific purpose. And he came as a baby, yes, but he came to give himself as a sacrifice for your sin and your brokenness and my sin and my brokenness. In a moment, we're going to celebrate communion. It's woven into the Christmas story and woven into the life of Jesus with a lot of drama and a lot of emotion. We remember, in fact, that on the night Jesus was betrayed, we remember that before that betrayal, when he was with the disciples in the upper room, he took bread. And he broke the bread and he gave thanks to God the Father. And then he turned to the disciples and he said, you know, whenever you eat bread like this, he said, remember me, for this represents my body, which is given for you. Can you imagine what they were thinking? And then the Bible says that after supper, he took a common cup and again he gave thanks to God the Father. And then he turned to the disciples and he said, this cup, I want you to drink from it, but I want you to remember that this cup represents my blood, which is shed for you. And what the disciples couldn't have known in that moment is that Jesus was reforming and reframing the whole religious system from this moment forward. And Jesus was saying, in effect, there would never be a need ever again for individual sacrifices for sin. Jesus was saying, I will be the one full and final sacrifice for sin. I'll do it once and it will be done. He came as a child, this King of the Jews, to give his life as a ransom for many. A little later in the writings of the Apostle Paul, we get, as followers of Christ, the one instruction, the one instructive piece for us for communion. And Paul said, when we take communion, we should come to this meal, we should come to this moment with respect and with awe and with wonder, and we should pause long enough to consider and hold up our lives in front of a holy God. And we should ask that God, under the inspiration and power of His Holy Spirit to reveal to us anything in our person, said, done, undone, unsaid, thought, that falls beneath His idea for your life. And you should do business with God and ask God to forgive you. And then after doing that, here's the thing. We should accept His forgiveness, because God in Christ gave everything so that we could be forgiven and free. And so in just a moment, we're going to take communion, and that's the instructive piece. We want you to take a moment, as Pastor Trevor said, slow the RPM down and take this moment and invite God to look over your life and whatever stands between you and His grace and His holiness. Seek His forgiveness, accept it, move on, forgiven and free. There's a lot of things I love about our church. I'll tell you one thing I love, and it's we practice an open communion table at Community of Hope. We don't ask for people to be members or partners to partake. It's not a secret thing. It's an open and available thing, but we say, hey, come with these ideas. If you desire to have Jesus be your Lord, not just the Lord of history, but your Lord, not just a forgiver of sins, but the forgiver of your sins, your Lord and Savior, your Redeemer, we invite you to come. If it's your desire to walk with other brothers and sisters in a way that just honors relational integrity, in which you try to do life with other people in a way that's good and kind, and that's your desire, we say come and receive communion. And then we say this, if it's your desire when you leave here to live a life that brings God honor, to try to just in all of life, even in our own humanity, to just offer to God our lives as a living sacrifice, here's what we would say to you. Come and receive communion. The table is set for you. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to give you a moment to examine your heart, and then we would love for you to receive communion. We're going to invite people out. You can come to your left, which is my right. We'll have stations set. You can receive communion and return to your seat, and we'll close our time with a little more worship. Let's pray together. You know, Lord, it's the first Sunday of Advent. It's a time when Christians around the world will remember again that not only You came and breathed our air, walked our sod, but You came with a purpose. You came to redeem humanity. And because, Lord Jesus, we're a part of humanity, that means You came to redeem us. So we invite You by the power of Your Spirit to search our heart, to point out anything within us that doesn't represent Your nature and Your calling upon our lives, that we might confess it, that we might repent of it, and that we might accept Your forgiveness and walk forgiven and free. Hear our prayers now as we offer them to You. now, Heavenly Father, we accept and remember what John the Beloved wrote in the letter bearing his name, that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all and every unrighteousness. And so, God, we thank you that forgiveness and hope is found in you. And we pray that not only would it be found in you, but that it would be found in us this Christmas season. And we thank you, God, for the wonder that is available to us, and teach us to pause and reflect and wonder anew and afresh over your glory, over your grace, and over your goodness this season. For we pray, even as we prepare to receive communion now, in Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen.
I'd like to invite the prayer teams to come forward at this time. And as they're coming down into place, we always want to give everyone an opportunity to, if you need prayer for anything, maybe it was something that got brought up in service today that you would like to ask God's help with. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a fear or worry that we're talking about. Maybe it's something you're learning to turn over to God. Maybe it has nothing to do with what we talked about in service today, but you need prayer with a relationship or something coming on this Christmas season. We would love to pray with you about any of those things. And if you're streaming with us online, you could submit a prayer request online, and our team would love to pray for you. Before you go, on the way out, there'll be ushers with baskets where if you brought a physical offering this week, you can drop your offering in the back on the way out. But otherwise, would you prepare your hearts to receive this benediction on this first Sunday of Advent? May you leave this place seeking Jesus just as intensely as the Magi did. May you be open to wonder. May you choose to lay aside your fears, and may you respond to wonder through worship. And may this Advent season be the one where you rekindle your sense of wonder and the one who loves you eternally. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Friends, go in God's peace. We'll see you tonight at 5:00.